Welcome to Nye's Notes. I'm Jerry Nye, the Bible Guy. Going to bring a new study in this podcast today. Going to be from the book of Romans. Hope you'll share this with other people. Help us get the word of God out. I've said many times that a preacher had only one book of the Bible. They were restricted to teach and preach from one book. Most of the preachers would pick Romans. The book of Romans, one chapter stands out as the favorite, and that's chapter 8. So my Bible study is going to be on Romans chapter 8 today. Here's a quote about this chapter. If the word of God was a ring, the book of Romans would be the stone, and chapter 8 would be the sparkling point of the jewel. Here's another quote. Romans chapter 8 is one of the most precious and beloved chapters in the entire word of God. A lot of Bible scholars consider Romans 8 to be the greatest chapter in the book. It's the longest chapter, 39 verses. It refers to the Holy Spirit more than any other chapter. Romans 8 has been called the Christian Declaration of Freedom. It's been called the Righteousness through Faith. It's been called Freedom from Judgment, Freedom from Sin. Chapter 8 describes the new man in relation to the Holy Spirit and his work in and through the new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Outline of the book up to chapter 8. Chapter 1 through 3, the whole world was shown condemned and lost in sin. Up to chapter 5, condemned sinners were seen justified and declared righteous if they believe on Jesus Christ. Chapter 6 and 7, the method of sanctification is explained there. The end of chapter 7 completes this treatment of justification and sanctification. One question comes up. Will this method of justification and sanctification last? Can I get victory over my flesh? Chapter 8 answers this question. If you are in Christ Jesus, you're safe. Justification and sanctification will endure. Yes, it will. So we can also say that Romans 8 speaks of security and preservation. There's a phrase in verse 1, the last verse, the verse 39, talking about in Christ. If we look at what's between these two verses, 1 and 39, we'll conclude you are preserved in Christ Jesus. Verse 1. Let me read chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Salvation removes condemnation. Salvation says not guilty. Salvation says we're free. What would that news mean to someone on death row? Well, let me tell you something, friend. The whole world is on death row, condemned. Romans 5:12. Here it is. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so doth death pass upon all men, for that all have sinned. Talking about Adam, what he did in the Garden of Eden, we all have a sinful nature. Since he did that, salvation removes condemnation. The whole world is on death row, yes. But God made a plan. God has a great plan. What is this condemnation? It's the wrath of God. God's anger, God's punishment. God hates sin and will punish it. The final punishment is the lake of fire. What brings on this condemnation? Unbelief, sin. The greatest sin in the Bible is the sin of unbelief. In John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The worst sin in the Bible, unbelief. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Jesus said the second I am statement, in the Gospel of John, I'm the light of the world, in John 8:12. When are we not condemned? Now. When salvation takes place, condemnation is forever removed immediately. We're free from condemnation when you get saved. Free from sin's fear. No longer a slave to sin. No longer a child of the devil. A new master has come in. A new king has come into our life. Free from sin's fear. Free from sin's force. We've got a new master. A new king. Satan has just been dethroned by the new birth. No condemnation by the law. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. No condemnation by God. He who justifies will not condemn. Romans 8:33, let me read that verse. Here it is. 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Oh, when he justifies, he won't condemn. God is not an Indian giver. No condemnation by conscience. Our conscience is purged from sin. 2 Peter 1:9. Let me get that verse. Here it is. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Purged from his old sins. No longer a slave to sin. Hebrews 10:2. Here's the verse. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. Well, listen, we got condemned, and we got saved, we got justified. Condemnation's gone. Purged from sin. No condemnation. When? Happens now when you get saved. Why? Because we're in Christ. Promise of God. What is the requirement to be free from condemnation? To be in Christ. Therefore, verse 1 again, refers back to the question in chapter 7, verse 24. Let me read that verse. Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Well, Jesus can deliver us when we're in Christ. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who shall deliver me from this condemnation? The answer, Jesus Christ. Our standing is in Christ. Now, let me have a little doctrinal lesson here. Our standing is positional sanctification. That speaks about our relationship. Our state is progressive sanctification. That talks about our fellowship. Here's a great verse, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Believing by faith in his word brings justification. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being in Christ, that's a happy position. It means in his favor, enjoying his grace. No other word for grace but amazing. I love that song. In his name, sharing his honor. In his heart, filled with his love. It means in him by faith. In him for fruitfulness. In him for fellowship. John 15, the branch is in the vine. Fruitfulness. We'll have fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Fellowship as members of the body, members of the family. To be in Christ means to be cleansed from all sin. To be in Christ means to be wrapped up in his purpose, in his will. To be in Christ is to be a branch on his vine, a true vine. To be in Christ means to be fitted for fruit, to be complete. To be in Christ means to be in his righteousness, imputed. I've said this before, let me say it again. The doctrine of imputation, threefold. When Adam sinned, sin nature was imputed to him. We have a sin nature when we're born. When Jesus went to the cross, our sin was imputed to him. He took our sin. He took our place. When somebody gets saved, when somebody gets in Christ, God's righteousness is imputed to them. Romans 3:20 shows therefore of condemnation. Here it is. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, not justification from sin. Romans 8:1 shows therefore of no condemnation. Read verse 1 again. Here it is. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In Adam we were condemned. In Christ there's no condemnation. Doesn't say no condemnation to those who don't sin, who don't ever fail, make mistakes. We all do, doesn't it? Here's a poem I found from chapter 8, verse 1. This poem is just on this first verse. No condemnation? Can it be? This message sweet is meant for me. For me, without who but for God free grace, will occupy the sinner's place. No condemnation? When and how? The word is clearly written now. 'Tis wrought through Christ, and Christ alone, not but his blood can sin atone. No condemnation, fully free, though Satan cast his darts at me. Accuse me often, try me sore, in Christ I stand condemned no more. No condemnation, no more dread, that God's fierce wrath will touch my head. His word is true, his promise sure, it shall forevermore endure. No condemnation, joy untold, my heart cannot its praise withhold. From him who freely bore for me, my condemnation set me free. What a great poem, just on Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We all make mistakes, don't we? Yes, we all do. Abraham lied about his wife, so did son Isaac. David committed adultery and murder. Peter tried to kill a man with a sword. They suffered the consequence for the sin, but were not condemned. What is the evidence of being in Christ? Verse 1. who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The flesh is not referring to our human bodies, but to the principle and power of sin. Following and obeying our carnal nature, our Adamic nature, walking after the flesh is to live to satisfy the desires of the flesh. Walking after the flesh is described in Galatians chapter 5, 19-21. Let me read those verses. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of wicked things in that list. And we're all guilty of some of these things, weren't we? What is walking after the Spirit, or in the Spirit? The phrase "after the Spirit" is four times in Scripture, three of them in Romans 8, verse 1, verse 4, and verse 5. Colossians 2, 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's a command. Walking after the Spirit is walking in God's will. Walking after the Spirit is walking in obedience. It's walking in his word. It's walking in subjection. It's walking in submission. Walking in the reverence of God. To get in Christ is to realize that you're a sinner. Romans 3:10, 3:23. To get in Christ is repent of your sin, Luke 13, 3 and 5, Acts 17, 30, 2 Peter 3, 9. To get in Christ is receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior, John 1, 12. In Christ means the penalty of sin is behind us and the power of sin is broken. What a great quote. In Christ also means no condemnation because Christ died for us. No defeat because the Spirit of God dwells in us. No fear because God has become the Father to us. No despair, because we know now that even our suffering shall end in glory. No misfortune, because there is no misfortune that can overtake us in Christ, because we know that all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. No adversary, because God is for us, and no enemy can overcome us and defeat us. No separation, because God is in Christ, has set his love upon us. In Christ, Jesus in Christ, and God is in Christ, and Christ in God. And we're in them both. Being in Christ, everything is new. Let me read this verse again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So what is new? We now have a new mind that brings life and peace. A new relation. We're the sons of God and children of God. A new hope. We have a blessed hope of glory. We have a new help. Help is always on the way, especially in our prayer life. We have a new knowledge. I'm glad we have a no-so salvation and a no-so Bible. A new assurance. In Christ, we have a new freedom from sin's condemnation. Friends, I'm going to stop right there. Hope this has been a blessing to you. Share it with other people. Till next time, this is Jerry Nye, the Bible Guy, signing off for Nye's Notes.